The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. It'll be Mick Norton, James Millman and Sean Quinn in the studio. Two jumps meetings, one from Catterick and one from Southwell. There's also flat racing from Lingfield on the all-weather surface in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Kempton Park as well. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yes, good, Mark. And yourself?
Yes, very good, thank you. And
good, man.
Looking forward to another great weekend coming up.
What a weekend.
Yes. And all the talk at the moment surrounds Big Buck's return in the Cleve Hurdle.
Yeah, very much so, and rightly so. You know, it's great to see one of the, you know, the stars of the National Hunt game over the past 5 years returning to action. But it's not just Big Bucks that we've got to look forward to. There are plenty of trial races which will prove key pointers to other races at the Cheltenham Festival. So whilst he is undoubtedly the jewel in the crown, the supporting cast is very, very decent, both at Cheltenham, as you say, but also Doncaster have a brilliant card. I think they've got three Grade 2 races up at Doncaster, so there's plenty of decent racing for Northern racing fans as well.
Yes, it's great weekend to look forward to. We've got the Argento, which is a trial for the Gold Cup, of course. We've got the Cleve Hurdle. I forgot the name of it, even though we've just been talking about it. And then, like I say, several good races at Doncaster as well. So, great jumping to look forward to across both meetings. Mm. Let's just focus on the Big Bucks' return to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Twiston Davis takes over, of course,
in
the saddle, and he's been schooling him this week. And the noises coming out of the Nichols camp are pretty positive as well.
Yeah, they'll have him as fit as they can, won't they, returning to action. And you know, they wouldn't want to bring him back half cooked or anything like that. I'm sure he will improve for his run, but that's only natural with most racehorses. But looking at the race, you know, he looks like if he can get back to what he showed, what would be the guts of 2 years ago, then he's going to take a massive beating. 18 months ago, to be more precise. But you know, there was nothing that could get near him, was there? And he was, you know, there were plenty of horses that tried to throw the gauntlet down to him. The likes of Grand Cru, who was in his prime when he tackled him at Cheltenham, and you know, several others, and they couldn't ever beat him. And you know, if Big Bucks turns up 90% right, then he should win, and it'll be very exciting to see. It'll be interesting to see him partnered with Sam Twiston Davis. I don't think it'll be any problem at all. Of course, Ruby Walsh is one of the all time greats with regards to jockeys, but Sam Twiston Davis is a confident young man, and let's not forget that Sam Twiston Davis was able to get a good tune out of Tidal Bay earlier in the season at Wetherby. So if he's able to get a tune out of a horse like that, then he'll find it far easier on a horse like Big Bucks, who will take him into the race that much further.
Yes. He's going to have a bit of a challenge on his hands, isn't he? Rev de Civil is also going to go to the race. The soft ground will be in his favour. We understand that it's going to be no better than soft.
No.
At the weekend. The original plan was to swerve the Cleve Hurdle with Rev de Civil, because that was kind of blamed last year for his poor run at the festival. But he's got as close as 9 lengths away from Big Bucks in the past. And
yeah.
Although the ground's in his favour, if Big Bucks turns upon song, it's going to give him a challenge, but it's still going to be hard to beat him, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. What he does have in his favour is that he comes into this race in absolutely cracking form. We know he is battle fit, battle hardened this season. You know, he enjoyed success in the autumn in France, and has continued that into the UK proper jump season through the winter. And at Ascot last time out, we saw everything that is good about Rev de Civil. He is very, very hardy. He stays all day. He jumps very slickly, and himself and Richard Johnson get on very, very well. So yeah, look, he'll of course be a player in the race. It'll be interesting to see how close he can get to Big Bucks, or if he could possibly cause an upset and beat him.
Yeah, and we've also mentioned the Argento chase earlier on this piece. Theatre Guide is bidding to stake his claim for the Gold Cup. He'll line up alongside Q Card, if that was to be the case, stablemate, of course. And it's the first three from the Hennessy are all in the declarations as well, so that'll be informative as well, won't it?
Yeah, we've got Triolo, Darlene, Rocky Creek, and Theatre Guide, as you say. But these horses are all rated in the 150s, so it's going to take a big performance from one of them to come out and stamp themselves as a real Gold Cup contender. You'd want to see one of them, probably Triolo Darlene, giving the rest of them a tidy beating in this race to be thrown into the Gold Cup mix.
Yeah, and Triolo Darlene may not even actually go to the race. He's also entered in Doncaster's Albert Bartlett.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, Mark, yeah, that he's received an entry for that race.
With a Don novice hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a cracking race. Yeah. He lost his novice tag over fences in France, but spent very little time over a hurdle, so hence he wasn't able to break his novice tag. But that's a good race at Doncaster. We've got an entry. Racing Pulse has entered in that race, and Emma Lavelle's got a nice horse in there, Times Remembered. Malcolm Jefferson's got Urban Hymn entered up. It's a really, really strong entry at this stage, and that'll be a big, big pointer to the Albert Bartlett in March.
It will. Plenty of pointers all over the place this weekend. Fortunately, we can't go through all of that.
No, we'd be here all day.
We would, yes. Let's just quickly talk about the festival as well, because there's been quite a move for Willie Mullins, runner in the Triumph, Ivan Grozny.
Ivan Grozny, yeah.
He's shortened quite significantly, and he's now the clear favourite for the Triumph. And it's a race you know plenty about, Sean, your yard.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with him at Nace on Saturday. But there are two things that point to this horse being favoured at the moment. One, there's such a lack of strength and depth in the juvenile division, Mark. We have yet to see a horse either side of the Irish Sheet come out and stamp themselves as a real contender. This time last year, of course, we were looking forward to the emergence of Rolling Star this coming weekend at Cheltenham. Yep. And Arcona was already making great strides towards the Triumph Hurdle. Those two horses were really prominent in punters' minds. We've got nothing like that at the moment. And Ivan Grozny, of course, races for Willie Mullins in those famous colours of Andrea and Graham Wiley. He won very nicely at the weekend, ridden by Ruby Walsh. There are a lot of pointers to him, and you can see why he's as short as he is. My one concern would be whether he would prefer very soft ground. All of his best form, Mark, is on very testing ground. If the ground were to dry up in March, which, as we know, it can do each and every year, then I'd be slightly concerned as to whether Ivan Grozny would be as effective on it. But that remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And also the fact that, like you say, there hasn't really been anything jump out this year. So he's the first real horse to really catch people's eye.
Let's not forget, he was beaten by Plinth first time up around Leopardstown. Aidan O'Brien's Plinth. Wouldn't it be great if that horse were to make a big shake-up in the market? Because, of course, races for the same team as the famous Istabrak, Aidan O'Brien and J.P. McManus. Of course, Charlie Swan was doing the steering on Istabrak all them years ago. A.P. McCoy will be likely to be doing the steering on Plinth. But he looks an exciting type.
Yeah, and related to Istabrak as well, Hurricane Fly bids to equal his record for a fourth consecutive Irish champion hurdle this weekend as well, so that'll be exciting, taking on Jessica and our Connor.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker, a rematch of what was a brilliant race around Christmas time, and the Fly is the one they've got to beat, but the Young Pretenders won't go down without a fight.
So plenty of clues this weekend, but before we get there, we must focus on Wednesday's racing.
We've got a brilliant meeting at Catterick to get through first.
I wonder if we'll have any Cheltenham clues there this Wednesday.
You never know, but I doubt it. Well, actually, I say that. There's one that's on my radar.
Okay.
We'll get to that later.
Yes, we will. Sean's picked out three races there, the first of which is the 110, which is a novice's hurdle, a Class 4 novice's hurdle, over 3 miles and one furlong. And this should be really a bit of a match, shouldn't it, between Rare Legend and The Last Samurai?
Yeah, very much so. I think given that The Last Samurai and Rare Legend held entries in this race, I think they've scared off a lot of the opposition trainers, not wanting to run their lesser novices too close to these types and hence maybe scupper their handicap mark for down the line.
Yeah.
The Last Samurai is a horse representing Donald McCain. Jason Maguire is doing the steering aboard this horse. He's got to lump a double penalty in this race as a result of wins round Kelso and Bangor. He's looked a nice type, a really hardy type, and a horse that will do well for connections over the next few seasons. I'd say he'd make into a nice chaser as well. But he's going to have a fair task on his hand, isn't he, conceding a stone to Shark Hanlon's horse, Rare Legend. AP McCoy rides Rare Legend for the Shark. This horse ran a good race at Limerick in December of 2012 and then was off until January of last year. We haven't seen him for 12 months. So fitness is taken on trust, Mark. But Shark Hanlon would not travel this horse over to England after a year on the sidelines if he wasn't fit. If he was going to need the run, he'd let him have a look around somewhere in Ireland and teach him a little bit more. I can't help but feel he'll be very, very ready, and he's going to serve it up to the last samurai. I think he's probably got the beating of the last samurai if he can repeat that form that he showed when finishing third in that novices hurdle at Navan last year.
Yeah, that was on heavy ground as well, so any rain, we're going to seem plenty of rain.
Inconvenience, should it?
Shouldn't be too bad. Right, the next race is the 210 at Catterick. This is a Class 4 beginner's chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and Holywell likely to be the market leader for this one. And is this the horse you were saying you might have a look at towards Cheltenham?
Yeah, I think he could be interesting, couldn't he, Holywell? I wouldn't be... absolutely stunned if you were to get beaten here even and still shape up at the festival, because of course he was the winner of the Potemps final under Richie McLennan and an impressive winner at that. Things haven't really gone to plan for him over obstacles thus far, but I think tracks like Catterick and Wincanton, the two tracks that he's run round the last twice, are unlikely to really suit this horse. I think he's a horse who's proven that he's better on more galloping tracks. Certainly his best form has come on more galloping tracks. His two career wins have come round Chepstow and Cheltenham. Chepstow, a very, very stiff track, and Cheltenham equally pretty stiff as well. Mm-hmm. So I think Jonjo O'Neill is looking to get experience into this horse around these tighter tracks, maybe with a view to getting a handicap mark and finding improvement in the spring when met with more ideal jumping tracks. The level of ability that he has, Mark, would suggest that he could and should still be up to winning a beginner's chase around Catterick. He's got an official rating of 1.34 over fences. Let's not forget he was 1.57 over hurdles, so he's already starting to look appealing with regards to handicaps. But Jonjo O'Neill might want to get a win into him this afternoon with a view to boosting his confidence as the springtime festival's around the corner. But he's got some decent rivals in opposition. Shot of Vodka was a very good handicap hurdler last season, and has probably just found things a little tougher this season because he's simply not that well handicapped. He's rated 144 over hurdles, and I think the pipes have sort of got to the peak with him over hurdles. He was eighth in the Ladbroke hurdle at Ascot last time out. That was a perfectly respectable run. Before that, he was second in a decent race around Newbury. If he's able to translate that sort of form to fences, then he could be a big player on this. On this his first chase start, he's likely to be the pace angle in the race. Tour d'Argent is Donald McCain's representative. This horse hasn't really fully clicked into gear since joining this yard, but let's not forget that he was a very decent hurdler and chaser last season, and I think it'll only be a matter of time before Donald's winning with this horse, but whether he might just find Holywell and Shot of Vodka too good on this occasion remains to be seen. I'll side with Holywell. He's got experience on his side. He's going to need to jump a little bit more slickly than he has done, but his class might out, and hopefully he can get off the mark over the large obstacles this time around.
Okay, the third race we're going to look at is the 240 at Catterick. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, 8 of them in the lineup at the moment, so hopefully it'll stay that way and we'll have a nice each way angle on the race. Who would you like for the 240?
I think Ubaltique is interesting here, despite having to lump top weight. This horse has always possessed a touch of class for a horse who could be considered a northern handicapper, and he was in good form last time out up at Kelso in testing conditions between Christmas and the New Year. I think that was arguably a career best from Ubaltique, so he's still slightly progressive, this Donald McCain horse. Rumble of Thunder is a horse who would have to be respected on his very, very best form, and he's shown okay form here at Catterick in the past, so I think Richie McGrath will have a good spin from this horse. Bygones of Brid is slipping in the handicap all the time. Now, this horse has been campaigned very, very highly in recent seasons, but he's clearly not up to winning graded races, but I think now that his mark is starting to slip a good bit, he could be a player in a race such as this. Interesting, Karen McClintock's booked Daryl Jacob to take the ride. Jonjo O'Neill and AP McCoy are represented by Ubaldo Desmenes, and Sue Smith has an interesting contender in hit the top. But I think that they're all going to have to go some to be beating Ubaltique here. I think he's classy enough to concede weight to the rest of the field.
Okay, Ubaltique then in the 240. Let's just have a quick summary then, Sean, if you wouldn't mind, for Wednesday's racing.
Yep, no problem. We start off with the novices hurdle, the 110, and I think Shark Hannon's horse, Rare Legend, will beat the Last Samurai in receipt of a stone. I think that might just prove too much for the Last Samurai, but it promises to be an interesting head-to-head between the two. We've got a good beginner's chase at 210, and I'm going to side with Hollywell to get off the mark over fences at the fourth attempt. Although he does have decent rivals in the shape of Shot of Vodka and Tour d'Argent. And then the 240, the handicap hurdle, I think Ubaltique is a horse who may still have more to offer and can concede weight to the rest of his rivals.
Good work. Thank you very much, Sean. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. It'll be Mick Norton, James Millman and Sean Quinn in the studio. There's this meeting from Catterick. There's also Southwell over Jumps and two all-weather meetings as well, Lingfield in the afternoon and Kempton in the evening. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.